Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
From boy
to white
and back again.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swapcast Podcast. Every episode we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week, we are watching the 2001 live-action animated hybrid, Monkey Bone, starring Brendan Fraser, Bridget Fonda, Dave Foley, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose McGowan, and Bob Odenkirk, where after a car crash sends repressed cartoonist Stu Miley into a coma, he and the mischievous Monkey Bone, his hilariously horny alter ego, wake up in a whacked-out way station for lost souls. When Monkey Bone takes over Stu's body and escapes to wreak havoc on the real world, Stu has to find a way to stop him before his sister pulls the plug on reality forever. That was a really long tagline.
Yeah, it was.
It's kind of replaced my 30-second plot summary.
No, you've got to do that still.
Yeah, fuck, that's going to be painful. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already. And this week I have a lovely email to read out. This one's from Kyle in New Zealand.
What up, Kyle?
And he says, recently found your show and really like it. Swaps are super cool to me. And always feel like untapped potential for exploring identity and the self, a sense of self.
You'd think, yes.
I actually studied these things in my PhD. I also think it'd be fun if you all had a segment where you picked a person you wanted to swap with from current pop culture events. Personally, I like thinking about whose bodies fit the real me, which I think gives people a fun sense of learning more about me the way I see myself. I think it'd be great to learn whose bodies you'd think fit you best, e.g. which bodies would just feel like they would accurately communicate who you are better than the current ones. Which bodies would you permanently swap into if you could?
So, what do you guys think
Obviously,
about that?
Obviously, I think the body that like I'm meant to have is a hybrid of Giselle, supermodel,
yeah,
Brazilian supermodel, and Angelina Jolie. I just feel like I just... When I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, why don't I look like that? I deserve it.
Yeah, I'm the same. Like, when I look in the mirror and I don't...
this question like, could have any other answer other than these.
Yeah, when I look in the mirror and I don't see Henry Cavill, like, staring back at me, I'm like, yeah. What the fuck is going on here?
That guy's too big for you. Who would... You'd be someone, like, more of a Chalamet.
Yeah.
No, but it's what he feels inside, right?
Yeah, no, I probably do feel more like a Timothy Chalamet than a Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
How about you, Brendan? Do you actually remember anyone's names to know who you'd swap into?
I think I'm trying to think of bodies. I'm just very, like, when I look in the mirror, I look at myself and I go, oh, why do I look like this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, because I ate a pizza, like, before going to bed, like. I'm exactly how I look.
This is about right.
Yeah, this is what I deserve.
Yeah, but I also ate pizza before bed. But I deserve to look like Angelina Jolie.
I meant like a whole pizza.
Mm. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, <it's there. laughs>
Well, that was our segment, Kyle. I hope you enjoyed that.
I was trying to think of famous people, but all I have in my head is Paul and Lucy explaining to me Kanye West's new album and the cancel crew.
So you're saying you want to be Marilyn Manson. Good. All right. So
he is well bloated these days. He is, yeah.
Well, anyway, we have more to hear from Kyle, but I'm going to leave that
to the end of the episode.
Oh, no, he's got a suggestion. What is it, Kyle? What have you done?
Ooh, you're in for a treat.
Is it an Angelina Jolie Giselle movie?
Yes, co-starring Henry Cavill and Marilyn Manson.
He does the soundtrack. Oh,
Marilyn Manson actually does really good soundtracks. He did the musical score to the first Resident Evil movie.
Oh, here we go.
But
Paul,
anyway.
Once again, defending Marilyn Manson.
No, Marilyn's old.
We need to separate the art from the art.
Oh my God.
Back in the pack. I can explain everything. I was tired of being a figment, see? It's dirty, menial work. It's kind of like being a pool boy, but even pool boys have their own bodies. Don't I at least deserve a body? Not my body. You get back in the pack, you bastard.
Back in the pack? What? With the stinky gym socks and the moldy cheese sticks? No! I've got the body, and I am never getting back in that goddamn pack!
So, on to Monkey Bone. This is a film with an amazing cast, a celebrated director, and a giant studio budget. Why is this film looked back on with such contempt?
As someone who's a huge fan of the graphic novel.
Did you even realize it was based on a graphic novel?
No, I just...
Yeah.
Wow,
just
I didn't Wikipedia. Know that. Wow.
Yeah.
What was the question?
Why do people hate this movie?
Oh, because of shit.
I have two things to say. I don't know why people hate it, but so the scheduling was a bit all over the place today. So Paul and I watched the movie together, and Brendan watched it earlier on and then came and met us. So one thing, number one, when Paul put the movie on, he goes, 92 minutes. How good's that? Like, yay, it's so short. And then when Brendan got here, we still had about half an hour to go. And Brendan was like, ugh. I just feel like everything you need to know about what this is like for us is in those two phrases.
But you know, it's like what's awful about it is that there is actually a lot of talent, like cast wise, mm-hmm. but also like sets. I had a lot of fun with those, like those character like designs and stuff like that. There's like this really, there's a lot of good talent on the screen, but unfortunately, the story is just not there, and it just drags, and you feel it. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. That's it. What do you think? Why do you think people hate it?
He loved it.
Look at it.
Oh, no,
the soul patch. Oh, no, you did like it.
I did like it. I remember.
Okay, Paul, you didn't laugh once.
Look,
you really did not laugh.
I don't think it's a masterpiece by any stretch.
I'll defend certain bits of it.
Yeah,
sure.
So yeah, I didn't hate it either.
But I was not bored once. And at all times, in every scene, there was at least one interesting or unique thing. Choice that this movie made.
Yeah, like and because Brendan Fraser was in every frame.
Yeah.
That's what the interesting thing was. Brendan.
Yeah.
Hello, Brendan there.
Yeah.
The cast was great and there were some good ideas. I feel like the overarching like plot is good, and especially somebody who's watched a million of these pieces of shit.
Yeah.
I did appreciate the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, because apparently there was a lot of issues behind the scenes of this film with the studio wanting a different film from what the director wanted. Like the graphic novel it's based on and what the director wanted was a much more adult, much more dark version of this story.
And you see that there, right?
Yeah.
But then you can also feel like it's been cleaned up.
Yeah.
And, that's
and so then it made the dick and fart stuff like a bit like, oh, I don't really understand.
Yeah, like say like when Brendan Fraser's like, you know, we don't shake hands, monkeys rub their bottoms together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why don't you just say asses or whatever? Like it just,
yeah.
And then
just
they don't show them rubbing their butts together.
Yeah, yeah.
but then like, you know, one of the main characters of this movie is Monkey Bone, which is supposed to be like
a dick,
a dick, like it's an erection come to life.
Which, we've seen this movie.
We've seen this movie.
Yeah.
Bad Johnson.
Yeah.
Did Bad Johnson rip this off? So I can definitely see it's a flawed movie, but there was just so much creativity and so much visual inventiveness.
Mm.
And then between Brendan Fraser and Chris Kattan at the end as well. A lot of like really great physical performance as well. Yeah. Like,
I can't believe I'm saying this, but Chris Kattan was actually like one of my favorite bits of this film.
Oh, completely. His physical comedy was so good. He was in it for a really short amount of time and he like nailed all his beats for sure.
Yeah. And the idea of like a corpse come back to life. He's like inhabiting a corpse's body and his organs are falling out during this giant chase.
Yeah, and he has a broken neck and like just even the way like he put tape around his head was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like
good for you, honey.
There's a lot to appreciate in this film. Mm. But yeah.
We even got like a Jurassic Park 3 oh no, Jurassic Park 2 like acrobatics scene.
Yeah. I can understand why people hate this film. And I remember when it came out, I did not like this film at all. Mm. I think I'm more kind on it now. And that's probably because I think this kind of film is a bit more rare now, for sure. Mm. And like, I think we appreciate stop motion animation a lot more now. And I just like seeing all that kind of the physical effects and all that stuff. You just wouldn't get that in a film nowadays.
Yeah, it's actually like a cost saving measure to shy away from that sort of animating method or having like actual like
physical sets,
prosthetics and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so I did not do any research for this. Yeah. I don't know anything about it. So like my first question was it made?
We just
when was it made? So 2001.
Yeah.
Appreciated. Yeah. And so who is the director?
So Henry Selick. So he is a stop motion kind of master. So the films that you would know him for are A Nightmare Before Christmas, James and the Giant Peach, and Coraline.
Right. Yeah, so Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach are both Tim Burton affiliated.
He's producing credit but not director.
Because I straight away wrote down, this is like Tim Burton's Batman is what I felt straight away, and like off-brand Jim Henson. What is the genre of that sort of like fantastical circusy? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. I think it's kind of like Tim Burton has claimed it as his own. Like, it's Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah. I can't believe I kind of picked that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So the visual style of this does feel like very reminiscent of
and that
of
music
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Is like Beetlejuicy and
Beetlejuice all over.
Yeah. Even like the you know, the dead guy, the with the broken neck and you know, all that sort of hell's waiting room. Yeah, that's all very Beetlejuice, isn't it?
Yeah. It kind of makes me like wonder what the real version of this film would have ended up by. Apparently there was one version that in production where it was going to be a lot darker and Nicolas Cage was going to be the Brendan Fraser character.
My mind
was quite racy. Is it? Yeah. Wait, was it shot? Is it?
No.
Is there
no.
like a Snyder cut?
That would be amazing, though. So we should probably get to the 30-second plot summary.
30-second plot summary.
So for our listeners that don't know, this is our new segment where I try to sum up the plot of the film in 30 seconds. I've managed to do it a couple of times now, but I really don't have much hope for this one.
3, 2, 1.
So Stu Miley is an animator. His new TV show is about to launch, but then he gets into an accident and goes into a coma. And then when he's in the coma land, his animated character's real. And then they find a way to come back to life. But then the monkey bone, his character, goes into his body and then takes over his life. And then he makes a plan to make everyone have nightmares because he's made a deal with someone in the coma world.
Boo.
And then, it's so fucking convoluted.
Right? So many flaws. The god of sleep, not some.
I think it would be a fool's errand to try to break this film up by like the plot elements.
Well, yeah, I did read that it was actually going to be a miniseries at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I could see that working. could see this working as a TV series.
This is a Netflix series all over it.
Yeah. Like, including the bloated 50-minute first episode where you're like, what's the point of this?
Why don't we crowdfund that?
Yeah, yesterday I actually watched the first episode of a new Netflix series, Brand New Cherry Flavor. Have you guys seen that?
No.
I actually liked the first episode a lot.
I liked it, but it was very much like, this is 50 minutes. It's taking a long time to get to what the point of the show is.
Yeah. But I was okay with that. Like, usually it really frustrates me, but the way it's done and stuff, I was actually
along for the ride. Yeah. Wow. So. Mm.
Yeah, with starring Catherine Keener, SWAT film alum. So,
yeah.
What did we think about this movie?
Soul patches are gross. We established that.
Yeah.
So
to make someone a douchebag, you give him sideburns and a soul patch.
Yeah, it's like the evil version is you with a soul patch. Can you imagine Brendan, no beard, just a soul patch? Oh my god.
Gross. But like, because Brendan Fraser's in a coma and for 3 months, and he grows a full beard, and then when Monkey Bone becomes him, then he just shaves the beard off to just be a soul patch and sideburns. Yeah. But I have to say, how good did Brendan Fraser look in the beard?
Oh, for sure. But so also, good. Like, it was weird that his girlfriend was there, like, trimming his beard. Like, why wouldn't she just have kept his beard from growing? Like, why didn't she just shave his face?
Because she was like, I always wanted to see him in a beard.
Yeah, I guess. It's a pretty good excuse. But also, like, if he woke up, he'd be like, I've got a fucking beard now. Like, I don't feel like myself. I don't know. I felt that was weird.
Yeah. What did we think of Bridget Fonda's character as the girlfriend? Like,
so for me, she was like the conduit for she's like the Winona Ryder character in Edward Scissorhands, down to like the hair and the.
Although she was like a professor of sleep or something, wasn't she? Like,
yeah, she was a doctor of sleep.
I just meant like in the way they made her look. I just feel like she was a little bit wasted, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like underwritten early 2000 female leads, she's probably
pretty bang on. Yeah.
She's probably in the better half. Like, at least she's not just a sex object.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, we shouldn't really be praising it for this.
No.
Like, I think she fares a lot better than what Rose McGowan did in this film. Like, Rose McGowan.
Yeah, what
character.
Was her character? Just, I fall in love with this guy.
Yeah, she's like a cat.
And basically, they call it, pussy cat.
She's a cat with boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like.
Also, the second time we've dealt with sexy cats in our swap.
Yeah, well, you didn't think that Kevin Spacey's cat in Mr. Fuzzy Pants was sexy?
No, I did not. But I thought you'd be happy that I was bringing out pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, I always love bringing out pretty cool. But yeah, cats feature a lot in all the movies we do. There's something about swaps and cats.
I think it's just people like cats. And
I don't know, man. Do
very
they?
People like watching them be sexual.
I did like there's a scene where a dog is having a nightmare and it's all like cats having like doing
how
surgery.
How cool did
on
that
him.
Look? Yeah. I thought that looked great.
Yeah.
Like this whole thing feels like they took a bunch of like art students who make like, you know, crazy short films and go, make a nightmare.
Yeah. Completely.
The problem with the character of like Bridget Fonda is like, I don't know why this relationship works. Like, and Brendan Fraser's character is so, what's his name? Stu Smiley or S. Smiley?
Yeah.
No, Smiley. That's why Miley Cyrus is called Miley Cyrus.
Named really? After Monkey Bone.
No. No. Surely you know this, right?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So her real name is Faith or Hope. I always forget. Which one is it? Faith.
I don't know. Yeah.
So her real name is Faith. But when she was a kid, she was really Smiley. So they used to call her Smiley. And then it turned into Miley.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So as soon as I saw S. Miley, I was like, thought of Party in the USA, you know?
When you were watching this film before us, you sent a text message 30 minutes in and you're like, 30 minutes in, still no body swap.
Yeah, I thought you may have like a shoehorned another.
Yeah. So having now watched the whole thing, do you feel like this was enough of an actual body swap and like, what kind of body swap cliches did this actually, you know, participate in? Because I know we don't actually talk about this much on the podcast anymore.
God,
but
podcast
maybe we should
about.
Talk about the fact that this was a body swap movie.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah, no. So once it became a body swap, my frustration was like during his time in this weird downtown, like, coma world, the relationship between him and Monkey Bone doesn't have, like, any sort of repartee or...
It's just Brendan Fraser being pissed off at the monkey all the time, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like they're having, like, conversations where you're, like... Because also, at the end, we get that they get, like, combined back together. And I was like, was that supposed to be some, like, moment where it makes a point about,
well,
like,
the man needs his penis, Brendan.
But it says, like, without it, he has no edge, you know? Mm. And I was like... Wouldn't have been more interesting to see these two, like, having some sort of, like, conflict, like,
yeah,
buddy
completely.
Comedy conflict.
Yeah.
And then when he screws him over, he learns something, went through this experience of getting his body back, or I don't know. Wouldn't that have been cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that what body swaps are about?
That was wasted, for sure.
It did have some of the classic touchstones, like looks at his penis.
He's excited to have one because as a cartoon monkey, he's without one.
Yeah. We have that moment where the dog recognizes that it's not him in his body and attacks him, which I feel like, have we seen that? We've seen it
in a million movies. Like, they recognize aliens.
Yeah, but funnily enough, I can't.
It's because we've watched 60 of these things and they've all melded into one giant thing.
Yeah. Remember how we watched that Pig Man movie? That was...
Pig Man movie?
Pig Man,
Pig Boy.
Pig Boy.
My brother the pig.
Yes. I will never forget My Brother the Pig. One bit I really thought... Actually, I did laugh. Before you got here, I did laugh.
I don't remember.
The scene where Bridget Fonda's having a shower...
Yes,
Monkey Bones.
Okay, that granted, that was great.
Yeah, Monkey Bones, you think Monkey Bones is perving on her, and then you realize that he's actually watching monkeys fucking on a documentary on the TV. I thought that was very funny.
Okay, and then which leads us to, like, they nearly have sex.
Yeah.
But who has sex by, like, just wrapping their boyfriend up in their robe? Like, that
someone
was
who has
so
an iron,
weird.
Someone who has an ironclad contract where, like, I'm not showing anything.
Yeah.
But it was really weird.
Eva Mendes in My Brother the Pig should have got Bridget Fonda's contract.
Yeah. Yeah, she, like, showed more skin in a family film than this.
I don't know. What about Bridget Fonda through the shower curtain? That was pretty, like...
I'm sure that was either Henry Selick stop motion animated that, or or it was another person.
Good for whoever it was. But still, that scene was really weird. Made it like a kids movie.
Yeah.
It was like adults having sex now. Ooh. Like, it was weird.
What about the sexy dance? Our viewers can't see it, but I'm doing air quotes. The sexy dance.
I thought you were
doing the dance.
Okay, Brennan is currently doing the dance.
I'm grinding.
I'm
up on the couch, putting my butt in everyone's face.
Was it really necessary to take off your shorts?
I mean, good for Brendan Fraser. He really went in on that one.
I'm smelling my armpit.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
But...
We have to mention, like, Brendan Fraser is, like, the internet's boyfriend right now. Everybody loves Brendan Fraser.
Saying anything negative is going to be, like, kicking a puppy.
Well, my question is, do we think he's funny?
I love Brendan Fraser. Like,
so do I.
I recently just rewatched The Mummy. Still fantastic.
Never seen it. Need to see it.
Yeah, need to see it. But, like, George of the Jungle, I watched recently. Still great. Leslie Mann, still great in it also. Don't worry, Brendan. Blast from the Past, classic.
Yeah.
Encino Man. Like, he's just got a legendary...
Okay, is this the preface but this film wasn't...
No, I think this film, you know, used him well. Yeah. I thought he was really good.
I wonder how he's going to handle the swap. Like, I wonder if he'll be able to do it. And I felt like he had a good physical change, his physical, like, he really went in on all the beats. But I felt like it was the film's fault that I wasn't laughing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Brendan Fraser's
fault.
And
the film didn't trust the swap. So, like, he didn't trust the performance, so they had to do other things, like put, like, weird cartoony noises whenever he did pratfalls and stuff like that. It didn't need that.
Yeah.
I thought he was... Did you like his performance in this, Brendan?
Yeah, I think Chris Kattan.
I was going to say, that's Roxbury guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never knew that guy's name before.
Neither. I found it on Wikipedia.
His short swap of having to be Brendan Fraser.
He felt like Brendan Fraser.
How did he do that? What was it about what he was doing? It was sort of like he changed his voice.
I was like, I was trying to figure out, has he got Brendan Fraser's voice over the top of him?
No, I was convinced.
Like,
yeah, he did really well.
And like a bit of tidbit here, Chris Kattan actually did break his neck once on the set of SNL. So he actually knows what it's like to have a broken neck.
Whoa, doing what, I wonder?
I don't know.
Probably that monkey character.
Yeah. Maybe we're doing the Night at Roxbury, when they're doing the head thing. But, like, I think Chris Kattan, I've liked him in a lot of stuff. It's just his career went to absolute shit at one point, and we all kind of forgot how good he could be. But
why did it go to shit? Like, what did he do?
Oh, he just did, like, I think from Corky Romano was his jump the shark moment, and then he just started just doing, like, Drek. Yeah, but, right. Like, I don't know. I still love Night at Roxbury, and I will stand up for that film.
Yeah.
That is, like, out of all the SNL movies, that's got to be the top, right?
Well, I feel like we need to save all this because, like, you're making me watch
It's Pat the Movie for our next swap.
Because that might be the contender.
What about Wayne's World?
Is that, isn't it?
Yeah. Wayne's World is all time.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. Wayne's World, but neither Roxbury's up there.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely not, you know, ladies' man kind Deuce of
Bigler? Is Blues Shit Brothers
it. It is.
SNL?
But controversial. I don't like the Blues Brothers. I don't think it's funny or entertaining.
What about
or
the
anything.
Musical numbers, at least?
No. No. That's like...
You gotta think. Come on.
That's one of those things that society's collectively decided it's good when it's not.
I feel like there is that kind of shadow over it of, you know, like, that Animal House, like, it's sort of tarred with that brush, sort
I just
of.
Assumed
but it. Animal House I can watch and I can understand why people like it.
Animal
Blues
House,
Brothers,
Animal House makes me, like, irate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, but I haven't watched it since, like, a long time ago, so maybe it would.
See, I don't follow the kids and what's being cancelled
on
Twitter.
That. Yeah.
Well, surely Blues Brothers has taken a hit, like, for being, like, culturally, you know, robbing the black community, surely.
I'm sure. And, like, also the sequel was just so reviled as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about this.
Yeah, we got to talk about Monkey Bone.
Oh, yeah. Swap cast. Got right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I got a lot of things to say. What did you think of his proposal, like the proposal that he was going to do that night?
It gave me Freddy Got Fingered vibes, which, you know, was another 20th
century. Just because something's hanging from the ceiling.
It was strings from the ceiling and, like, things.
It was a fucking cute Rube Goldberg or whatever, Goldberg machine proposal.
I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I love Freddy Got Fingered.
It
was a Rube
proposal.
Goldberg machine, but it had, like, two components. Can you call it a Rube Goldberg?
It had a fucking drawing. Champagne came across the floor. That was cute as shit.
I know, but I felt like...
How did you propose to Katrina, Brendan? Come on.
He also used a Freddy Got
Fingered. Was there any levers and pulleys?
I drew an animation of how we met.
Okay, I'm sure you did. You're a great guy, fuck. did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, Brendan.
It was in, like, a fairy tale, like,
oh,
motif.
Oh, my God. Stop. Do you have, like, a video of
was
him
Monkey
watching
Bone,
it?
Was no, Monkey well, Bone in the animation?
What?
Was Monkey Bone in the animation?
Did you animate your penis?
And it grew and grew. No.
Please take that out. I can't believe I sullied your beautiful moment.
No, it's staying in, baby.
Katrina, this is what she's like.
Anyway, that's beautiful.
Well, I did like the proposal. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, same here. Huge problem I've got. She's like a sleep therapist and helped him deal with his nightmares, and that's how they met and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the way she fixed his nightmares is to told him to draw with the other hand.
Yeah.
That's such a load of shit. That's like what a like a kid that was writing a story would say.
That innuendo for like...
Jerking off.
Yeah.
In your endo.
So you're saying, like, the cure for nightmares is to jerk off with the other hand before you go to bed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can chest that out tonight. We'll all do it, all right? And then we'll come back next episode and say
it
worked.
I can remember a short story I read where the guy uses the other hand and he paints the nails and shaves his arm so it looks like a woman's hand.
That's like a, it's like a mini buddy swap.
Anyway, I just thought that was a weak plot point. She's like, I saved him because I told him to draw with the other hand. No.
Also,
please show me,
like,
your medical
excuse
degree.
Excuse me, she has a PhD.
In bullshit.
Also, like, the artwork he was making
before he was cured, amazing.
It was, like, amazingly,
like, it was
detailed.
Dark.
And then his left-hand drawings were, like, fucking look like
left
kids'
hand,
drawings.
Left hand, yeah. I loved the way at the start there was this huge animated sequence and it was, like, drawing and it was, like, charcoal and then paint and whatever, and then like it kind of zoomed down. I'm
like,
that?
That's okay. Yeah.
Other little trivia tidbit, the person drawing that was the director, Henry Selick.
Amazing.
Anyway,
draw like a kid, Selick.
Yeah, you fucking hack.
I could never do a drawing that good. The third thing I think I wrote was, God, I wish I could draw. I really do wish I could.
You
can,
seen,
can't you?
You should have seen the animated proposal I did. It looked really good. Sorry, I'm now just being an asshole. All right, let's move on.
How long did it take you to make it?
It took me a few, like, a month. Right.
It's amazing.
Well, like, you know, I used to do that. I used to.
And so, like, where did you come in the scenario? Like, she's watching this little video and then you're there on one knee?
Yeah.
You don't have to tell
it was
the story.
That weird.
You
it was to. Like me, like, sitting there waiting. Making it, like, watching her watch it,
like, sweating through your five layers of shirts,
and then it's like, and then it comes to a point where it's like, oh yeah, I've got to propose now.
So she didn't know that that's what it was.
No,
she's just like, look at this cute thing Brendan made.
Yeah.
Oh my god, fuck off.
I assume she probably picked up, like, oh, this looks like it took a lot of time, I wonder what he's doing here. Surely.
Anyway. Was it her birthday or anniversary or anything?
No, it was the day I proposed.
Yeah, but I mean, like, did you do that?
Do
on a
that
special
to keep
time?
It. No.
Okay. Cool.
Good story.
How come everyone like puts online how they proposed and have like photographers ready?
Everybody does everything online.
Yeah, okay. Because you don't do anything for yourself anymore. You just do it to get potential
clicks, baby.
Yeah, clicks and likes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what
social
society
media has
is now.
Ruined us, and like, yeah, we can't approve of ourselves unless we have external, like, people approving.
How do you think this movie would have changed if social media were? I'm trying to bring it back. Sorry.
What else can we talk about? Okay, can we just talk about how Megan Mulvaney, what the hell is her name?
Mullally.
Karen? Yeah.
Megan Mullally, yeah.
What the heck? She was psychotic. She was like straight away when her brother was like in the coma. She's like, we got to pull the plug. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I was expecting it to come back at some point that she wanted her,
his money from the
deal. But
all she
wanted to do was kill her brother. That was her whole character.
Yeah, and it's like they had this thing about how they
had
a family member. Yeah,
sure.
And so they both made a promise to each other, like, no life support. It's too cruel and whatever. I was like, but then she was really, like, psychotic about it. It was just a very odd. I didn't quite understand her character.
Yeah. But I always appreciate seeing her and stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
She's, like, one of the funniest people ever. Like,
yeah.
I love
that.
Anything.
You agree with that.
Yeah. Your children's hospital, she was amazing.
Yeah.
So we've watched a lot of films now about the bureaucracy of the afterlife. How do you feel this film fared in that? Like, do you feel like this is a more appealing version of the afterlife than what we saw in, like,
where
you
like
Wake?
Have to watch all all Nightmare Network all the time? No, this is not appealing. It was terrifying, and there was like weird hybrid animorphs.
So we didn't get to see the version of hell in well, what's the really boring one?
Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven Can Wait. Yeah. Heaven Can Wait. I guess the hell is watching that over.
Yeah, I'm sure whatever the version of hell was in that movie, it would have been very boring.
Well, yeah, heaven's a way station for a plane, so yeah.
What do you guys think of the movie's view of, like, the consumerism behind, like, animated properties and, like, the intense merchandising and what it had to say?
I've
about
never
that.
Seen a animator who would you say is on the same level as this guy? Like, everyone wants to see him. Everyone, like, nobody gives a shit who makes or, like, is the creator of it. Like, I feel like today,
I don't know, like,
that this, sort of level.
This film did name check South Park. And yeah, at did, the end, it? Whoopi Goldberg's like, I'm going to kill Matt Stone and Trey Parker, pretty much. And, like, I feel like at the beginning of their career, it was definitely the same for them. Like, they created this new animated property, and then all of a sudden, the merchandise was everywhere. And it was the same with Matt Groening when he made The Simpsons.
We saw an episode.
Oh, look, Monkey Bone, I don't see getting the same kind of...
Yeah, but you know the way, like, it's like there's movies that are about music and the music's never good. Like, it, you know, it's just within the universe you're supposed to believe that it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Interesting, I listened to this interview recently. The guy that created Schmigadoon also wrote Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about Minions.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm really sorry that Minions took over the world. But, and the interviewer was like, oh, you know, is that what made you rich? Like, more than, and he said, no, like, we don't get any, there's some weird, like, rule with animation. It's not the same rights. And
yeah.
What's the word I'm trying to talk about? What's the word, like?
Yeah, like the union, like, they have different, contract. Yeah.
Anyway, so, like, before the film came out, they were trying to go to all these toy distributors being like, oh, can you make Minions for us? And everyone was like, that sounds so stupid. Yeah. No, we don't want to. And then the movie came out and it was like, please, can we make Minions for you? Yeah, so I feel like that's a good example of, like, it took over.
Yeah, I think it's very much in the realm of possibilities that Monkey Bone would become a thing that everybody wants the
plush
toy
of. But also just, like, it's... toy that sticks its finger up its ass is really weird.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like the tone of the film wasn't right. It's like, I feel like the gross out shit, they should have gone in harder on that to kind of sell what that animation was.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it felt really childish, and then it had this toy that was fucking fingering its asshole. It was weird.
Yeah. But I don't see any version of this film that would have been successful financially. I don't think there's any version of this film that the best case scenario for
what
this film.
What if Brendan Fraser didn't have the soul patch, and what if he was shirtless a lot?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, like, I think best case scenario was always for this film to become a cult classic 10 years after it
Has
was
that
released.
Happened?
It hasn't happened, but I said that's the best case scenario of what they should have expected with this film.
Like, did you guys watch Death to Smoochie?
Yeah.
No.
I feel like
you talk about
Death
that a lot.
But maybe I should recommend it one day.
But Death to Smoochie was a flop as well. So, and that was
it. But it is
one.
A cult classic.
Yeah. I feel like as well, Paul, like if it had that runaway underground DVD, you know, renaissance. How much would Rose McGowan's character be a Halloween costume that girls would do every year?
Yeah.
Like sexy cat, Rose McGowan, that's on point.
How easy is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just paint your nose.
And
you put
a crucifix on your forehead and you're done. Why was that there?
And like you can use the same wig that you have be doing Mia Wallace.
Yeah.
From Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Truly, I went to a Halloween party and there were about six of them.
So next Halloween, Rose McGowan and Monkey Bone?
I think you get more points. No, I have a kid now, so we have to do family costumes. I think you get more points.
Can be Monkey Bone.
No! I think
Adrian
you get
grow
more
soul
points.
Patch.
Oh my God.
Anyway, I think you get more points if you do me and Wallace with the bloody nose and the...
like, syringe in your
out
heart.
Of her heart, yeah. If you just go on white shirt, black pants, and the bob.
Halloween tips.
Please never make my family do Monkey Bone. I really want to do Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton.
Like I have you must do it.
Do not sully my child's reputation.
Please, Paul,
I
want to
be Dolly Parton,
us.
Paul Wagner, and I don't know, Otis can be like a little guitar or something.
You're going to make him an inanimate object.
He'll be tired anyway. Be past his bedtime. I really just want to dress up as Dolly Parton real bad. I've looked at the wigs a lot.
You know how some teachers have those kind of flaps on their arms? Those big sacks of limp flab that, like, dangle? Uh-huh. It sounds weird, But for some reason, as I watched those big old flaps of hers, I began to feel oddly aroused.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, now let's get to our favorite segment, Hot or Not. Take it away, all of us.
Are they a toot or a boot?
Are they ugly or cute?
Tell me are they hot or not? Ding. Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
You can't change the key halfway through.
He was trying to do his harmony. He got cocky because of his harmony last time.
I reached for the sun and my wings melted.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. So Brendan Fraser is smiling.
You flew too close to the sun and your wings melted? Is that what you mean?
What did I say?
I reached for the stars.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that what you said?
Oh, the alternate
stars
Icarus.
Sun.
Why did his wings
stars
melt?
Stars are suns, guys. Science.
So, Brendan Fraser as Stu Miley. Hot or not?
I mean, the soul patch is unforgivable.
No, this is as Stu Miley, not as Monkey Bone.
Okay, so what? Straight up. Are we going to do every iteration of him?
No, we can do combined. So,
soul patches are terrible, and Shannon Knoll has taught us one thing, and it is that. So, soul patch is terrible, and also the really wide collar lapel, you know that, like,
the collar,
like, over the top of the suit jacket, like, really
like
wide.
Like that 70s
big kind of John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever.
And leather
pants. Horrible. Yeah, leather pants. Horrible. Yeah. So much horribleness. But Brendan Fraser is so fun.
Yeah.
All of that.
When he's himself in this film, he is very
hot. I love
hot.
The kind of like late 90s death rattle. He had this kind of like skate. He looked like a bit of a scar dude, Brendan. You'd be into that. That kind of like the op shop baggy pants with the Vans and that kind of belt vibe and the kind of bowling jacket, whatever. Come on. Yeah. That was. Yeah, and also he had hair like Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, that kind of like parted, floppy, pushed back.
Yeah.
Like, so fun.
Yeah. I'm giving him a heart. He was hot. Like, obviously, as Monkey Bone, he's a bit gross, but as himself,
like,
he was
hot. Yeah. They were trying their best to make him a douchebag. They even gave him, like, a microphone and.
Yeah. The subtle thing, his ears started to slowly pop out like a monkey's as the further he got into the character. Do you guys notice that?
No, I love a wingnut, so that's fine.
He was great and he was hot. So congrats, Brendan Fraser. Mm.
Well, hey, I didn't say anything. So he's an attractive man. Sure.
Yeah, you wouldn't shit on a fellow Brendan, would you?
I couldn't. My mom thinks he's so attractive. One. My mom like loved him when he was like in George of the Jungle.
That's what you got named after?
Yeah, probably. She probably renamed me.
The timeline is not adding up here. All right. So Bridget Fonda as Julie.
Oh my God, what a smoke show. She was it was crazy.
She is so attractive.
Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Why isn't she in, like...
She's retired.
When did she retire? Monkey Bone?
What do you reckon she does now?
I don't know. I think she just was fed up of being in movies, so...
I really would love to see what she looks like, because, you know what Jane Fonda looks like.
Mm.
There's some enhancements.
Yeah.
But I mean, like... She's a total Betty as well. So, I would be interested to see. Yeah. But yeah, like,
I'd like
my
to
God.
See her mind now.
beware of the man that tells you he's a feminist.
The last thing she appeared in was The Snow Queen in 2002. So,
the year after this movie. Wow.
Yeah. So I saw some reviews with her. Like, I understand why she quit.
I bet she became like a marine biologist or something. I feel like she's into something very.
I'm sure I could look it up, but let's go with that.
Yeah, I reached into the blowhole. Yeah, yeah, she's so beautiful. I've never really seen her with hair like that. Like, to me, she's always the girl from Singles, because I just love that movie so much.
I always think of her as the girl from Lake Placid.
Yeah.
I always think of her as the girl from Silence of the Lambs.
But and that's then I not realize her.
That's the right person. That is a classic Lucy, Paul, Brendan, like, triple punch, by the way. I think her of this 90s nostalgic thing.
Do you know
and
that?
You're like, I think of her as this trash horror thing, and Brendan's like, I think of her as the wrong person. Brilliant.
I was going to say an anecdote, but I can't remember if it's true or not. Was she supposed to be Ally McBeal?
I've never heard that.
Yes,
I love
no,
that
actually
her.
It is true. She was supposed to be Ally McBeal, but then Calista Flockhart, she didn't want to do it.
Stole
and they
it.
Gave it to Calista Flockhart instead. Mm. But then she ended up working with that creator on Lake Placid.
You know, I'd love to, but Monkey Bone is...
It's just calling my name. I think it's my big break.
All right, so Rose McGowan as Miss Kitty.
Also a smoke show. Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, she is stunning in this film. Mm. I'm very scared of her at this moment.
I was literally about to say, I am very frightened of her. Just feel like she would hate me so much.
Yeah, she would hate all of us. She hates everyone.
Okay.
rightfully so. Life has kicked her around. She can hate whoever she wants.
She's like one of the really vocal people in the Me Too movement. And
Weinstein, like, directly...
Yeah, I knew that, but wait, is that why she hates everyone?
Become like, now her thing is like, she just gets angry at everyone. Like, whenever you see her in the media, it's because she's angry at someone.
I just think she's just gotten to a certain point in her life where she's just like, I have to put no airs for anyone. Like, I've been through hell and I'm fucking going to give it back to you.
Yeah.
Like, if you do anything to cross me or look at me the wrong way, or I'm going to call out your bullshit constantly. She was on that Louis Theroux podcast, and he was great, but she did not hold back.
And, like, I think this role as Miss Kitty is the furthest thing from what she would agree to do in this stage of her career as possible. Like, this is, like, the polar opposite of everything
she portrays.
And I
feel like she really
now.
Used to be, like, this character.
Yeah.
Maybe not always a sexy cat, but she was always a little sex kitten.
Yeah,
for
she's the girl whose boobs are too big to fit through the doggy door and scream, and that's why she died. Like,
yeah.
All right. So Dave Foley as Herb.
Well, as attractive.
He was like that very unfortunate late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. Like, bleached hair, bad suit. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I have to say... Dave Foley, a few years after this, was in a movie called Postal, which was a video game adaptation from this director, U-Ball, who was doing all these, like, really terrible video game adaptations.
Well, the game was terrible, so...
Yeah, but, like, he made, like, Dungeon Siege and...
Wait, is that the...
That's made up.
The one with Jason Statham and Christian Slater,
Transporter
Alone in the Dark, and... The zombie one. This is really boring. But anyway, he did.
I made a good transporter joke in there. No one picked up on that.
But anyway, he did a movie called Postal, and in that film, he has like a full nude scene, and the movie is
hung.
That's like
no,
and I will tell you
no. The movie is gross. Like, it starts with, like, this really off
color. But then
color.
You get the Scott Foley's...
It starts with a really off color, like, 9/11
testicles.
Sequence.
No,
oh, God.
Where it's like a wacky, like...
No.
Wacky, like, Zucker Brothers style comedy sequence with the terrorists in the plane about to, like, crash into the Twin Towers. And the fact that Dave Foley agreed to be part of this film and then... also agreed to be completely nude in this film, and how he looked nude in that film. Like, whenever I see him, or even when I heard his voice in Brother Bear, like, it just turns my stomach. He actually grosses me the fuck out.
Oh,
and I have, like, a visceral reaction to Dave Foley ever since I've seen postal. So I'm giving him a knot. Yeah, I'm giving him a knot.
Oh, you're giving him a knot. Okay. Yeah.
Did he have like a long butt?
I don't remember seeing his butt, but I remember him. I'm pretty sure he had full bush. Going back to last episode, when we talked about full bush last episode.
Yeah, Sarah Silverman. Yeah. Don't men always have full bush?
What do you mean men always have full bush?
Not in the films Paul's watching, I guess.
I highly disagree with men have all full bush. From personal experience, I can tell you that's not the case.
Of all the people I surveyed.
With my mouth.
It's a topical survey. Yeah, right. Okay. Right.
Wait. Circumcised?
I can't remember.
I don't understand, though. Like, it's weirder when men don't have pubic hair. Why? Why was it so offensive that he had a full bush?
No, I just said that he does that. He had a lot. It was there's no.
Or maybe
trimming.
It was like the Sarah Silverman thing. Maybe the director could see his something and had to. So they put a Merkin on.
After we finish filming, we'll look up Dave Foley naked. And we're going to analyze what we think of his genitals. All right? That's
Doug Bill. I'm going to remember that. That's very funny.
Did he have frosted tips?
All right, let's move on
to the next segment. I was going to keep doing people, but, you know.
No, please, there's more.
Okay, Chris Katana's the corpse. Hot or not?
He was very pale.
I love the way his organs were falling out of his stomach.
Yeah, the organs were disgusting. Was it the stomach? Was one of them his stomach?
Yeah.
It was so big.
Our father took a long time to die. So Stu and I made a pact that when our time came, we wouldn't let it drag out. So... which one's the plug?
What plug?
The plug. Yeah. The one you pull.
Oh, God, Kimmy, don't even talk about it.
Let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of Monkey Bone from across the interwebs. So this isn't a review, but I thought it's worth mentioning. Monkey Bone has won 3 awards. So it won Best Stunt. At the Stunt Awards, it won Best High Work and Best Work with a Vehicle.
Oh, my God. Is that a thing?
Apparently.
I'd love that for them.
What was the work with the vehicle? Oh, like the part where they're, like, on the balloon?
The crash. Yeah. The crash.
Oh, the crash at the start. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Or when the doctors were driving after the balloon, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, it also won at the Stinkers Bad Movie Award 2001.
If they fucking disgrace Brendan Fraser, I will.
No, Whoopi Goldberg won Worst Supporting Actress.
Yeah, so. we didn't talk about Whoopi. That was...
I mean, she was just Whoopi. Like,
Whoopi!
I don't think she was any worse or better than what she normally is.
Guys, have you ever just really thought about her name is Whoopi? Like, what is her real name?
Yeah,
maybe it's Whoopi. Maybe it's Whoopi.
Yeah, I just don't ever want to talk about what we're supposed to be talking about.
Okay. Well, anyway, Caleb the Hairy wanted to talk about Monkey Bone. He gave it 4.5 stars.
Oh.
He says,
tell me.
Y'all call yourself cinema fans and then collectively give this fucking masterpiece 2.2 stars. Rotten Tomatoes, I understand, but I expected better from the Letterboxd community. This is literally more creative and visually interesting than 90% of Disney's output for the last decade. But y'all are too busy watching movies about French women who make mushroom soup and love the smell of rain or something to appreciate this.
What's that, Julia and Julia? That was a good movie.
Anyway, bring back loud, aggressive, creative, high-budget, low-brow, psychedelic comedies.
I agree that it was creative and something else that he said.
Yeah.
But the execution, it just wasn't there.
You know what it reminded me so much of?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever watch Freak?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
It's like it's this film with Who's the other guy that you never remember the name of, but you guys
would never do.
That's everyone in Hollywood for you.
From Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, who's not Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah,
Reeves.
No, that's fair. Who is that guy?
Yeah. Alex Winter?
Oh,
you could tell me literally anything and I would believe you.
I'm pretty sure it is Alex Winter, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Well, like, it's about him, like, being this famous star and getting trapped in a circus of freaks. By like some evil farmer.
So familiar.
I reckon I remember seeing the VHS cover for that, but I never watched it.
And it's like, yeah, there's all these like physical, like all these prosthetics. It's like just the full on, like, it's very reminiscent of this.
Or the other film that came to mind, honestly, watching this was another film I watched recently, which was barely watchable, was the Brad Pitt movie Cool World. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Where he's an animator. And he goes into the animated world that he created.
Is that like animated by that Balsky guy?
Yeah, like the Fritz the Cat's person. And it's got like Kim Basinger like as a sexy cartoon.
Basinger. Yeah. No, I never heard of it.
But yeah, that film, don't watch it. It's not my recommendation. It's fucking awful. But this kind of had similar
If you
want
to watch Brad Pitt, watch him in the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he's on that roof. That's all you ever need to know.
Yeah.
That's a fine wine right there.
But anyway, back to Monkey Bone.
Never.
Angie gives it 1.5 stars and she says, why the fuck would someone make this?
Oh, Angie.
I did question, like, this graphic novel didn't seem that popular. It's very hard to get a hold of.
Yeah. A Haskell 20 gives it 5 stars and they say, Brendan Fraser has a nice ass.
It was very round.
Yeah. He's a beautiful man.
Yeah.
Boop gives it 2.5 stars. And she says, David Lynch, retire, bitch.
Brilliant.
And finally, we have Katie Farandino. She gives it 0.5 star. And she says, ever feel so much pain while watching something that you end up crying?
Whoa.
Now, because you know in your heart, Miss Julie is faithful. Loyal and true. Jumbo! On the boat! The lady got a loose caboose. On the boat! The lady got a loose caboose. Humboldt! Get on the Juliet train. Humboldt! Miss Julie Juice and Beauty train. My Julie's got a booty.
Now it's time for Tenuous Recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, or book that is connected to today's movie in some way. And for once, Brendan actually had 40 minutes to prepare while he was waiting.
On Facebook, I saw. He wasn't getting anything.
I was on Facebook.
You're scrolling on some Reddit.
Texting with Reddit.
Because we're like, we've got 40 minutes of this film left, so you can actually research your tenuous recommendation properly this time.
I'm just going to fully out myself. I did not do proper research, and I have to do mine totally on the fly. So go, Brendan. Make me look good.
Yeah. You go first, since you've already done it.
Have I done American Animals?
No, you haven't.
I recommend American Animals.
What is that?
It's a movie and it has animals in the title, and there was an animal in this movie.
That's a shit connection.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
All right.
But yeah, go on.
Never mind. That's,
continue.
I'll think of a better one.
What is it?
All right. Imagine a world. This is the movie. There's students. They go to a college, right? And wait, you guys are looking at me confused.
You're saying something.
Yeah, okay.
I'm listening.
So
it's called listening.
American Animal is about four college students who have their lives pretty much set to go, and
then they kill someone by accident.
No.
Oh.
So this is based on a true story.
I like mine better.
No, but the college that they go to has like a prestigious library that just incidentally is home to a book that is worth, I think it was like $30 million. And they're like, hey, like, we go to this library all the time. We have access. Let's do a heist. Let's
steal
this book.
But guys,
how
are you going to ever sell a book that's worth that much money? Like, you're going to fucking go on bloody eBay and go, yeah.
That's the question. And so that's like the movie is watching these four college students basically figure out, like, if we were to do this, how are we going to sell it? And like all these things. And it has this, like, this was before like iTonya and all that sort of stuff. They had this really interesting element where, it's almost like, has this documentary element to it where the
like
people,
Goodfellas.
the people who actually did it, they're like, every now and then they'll break the fourth wall and be like, is that how it went? You know? And they're like, yeah, pretty much. Anyway.
Sounds cool.
It was a really interesting watch. And just that, I found it just so interesting to look into the mind of like, why would someone who has, you know, they're not like desperate for money, they're not like in any place, shape or form, like, how does that mindset go, I want to steal, I want to do a heist? Because I understand doing a heist. It sounds like the funnest thing, but it's just like the stealing and the...
No, I would have so much diarrhea. Okay, so just to be clear, animals, monkey, that's it?
Animal.
Yeah. Yep.
American okay. animals.
Cool.
Fine. Yeah, it does have... It's Evan Peters.
D minus.
Yeah. All right, so my connection is... animation, live action hybrids.
I love animation, Brendan. What a missed opportunity.
There was
just
so many in this film.
Space
like...
Jam, yes.
No. so I am recommending one of my all-time favorite movies, which is the Lizzie McGuire movie.
I was literally about to go, you can't do Lizzie McGuire again.
I've never recommended Lizzie McGuire on the show.
Do you have animation in that? There you go.
Yeah, so there's
like... he's done like Cadet Kelly or whatever.
Yeah, I've done Cadet Kelly. But
probably younger. I don't know.
This is it, Brendan. This is it. This is the day you found out you have to watch the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Have you seen it, Lizzie? Dude.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. So this is just a warm blanket of a film to me. It's, you know, the film... follow-up to the TV show where Lizzie goes to Rome for her school vacation and then gets mistaken for an Italian pop star. the new principal of the school is looking after all the kids on their vacation, and she's played by the marvelous Mrs. Maisel's Alex Borstein, who like completely steals the movie, from Hillary, of course.
Who's Alex Borstein?
So she is, what's her character's name in Mrs. Maisel?
She the manager?
She does the voice of Lois, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, yeah.
So, yeah, she's hilarious, all shot on location in Rome. Rome looks stunning in the film. Soundtrack is iconic. Hillary playing two characters who get to duet with each other. it is amazing, like... I was
what dreams are made of.
It's what dreams are made of. And I
was listening back to old episodes. Remember how Paul used to put in a bloody Hilary Duff song every time?
So I was like a Hilary Duff. Like I liked Lizzie McGuire on TV, but Lizzie McGuire movie is what turned me into like a super fan. So
I have to ask, what are like Hilary Duff's fans called? Are they like Duffies or something? Like, what is that?
Duffsters?
Duffheads? Up the Duffs.
I think we're Duffsters.
Duffsters?
It's like Duffsters. That's
bad. We're the cum dumpsters.
that's bad. I feel like you could do better. like a Hillary play there. I don't know. Yeah, cool.
So, the Lizzie McGuire movie.
No surprises there. Yeah. Good for you.
You finally did it. Halfway through this episode, I was like, oh, I should do Freddy Got Fingered because there are a lot of connections actually between the two.
Well, the animation about being an animator is like screwing.
And if they're both from the same studio, released the same year. But
that's a connection, baby.
But I had already
they're
chosen.
They're all a critique on the industry.
But I know that also that both of you have already watched Freddy Got Fingered, so I can't recommend it to you.
Okay, so that's great.
Or have you not watched it?
No, I have. I was about to start doing mine and then I realized you hadn't stopped talking.
Are you saying shut the fuck up?
I'm talking now.
All right, Lucy, what's yours?
I am the captain now.
Hey, Lucy, what's yours?
Okay, guys, who was the voice of Monkey Bone? I want to say... Steve Buscemi.
Nope.
It was John Turturro.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So then I did 1 second of homework because I was like, oh, what fucking film am I going to recommend here? I don't know. And then I looked it up and it was John Turturro.
Which is crazy.
It sounded heaps like Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
But
let's do a blind test. This is like Coke and Pepsi.
So you're going to recommend Mr. Deeds?
No. No. I'm going to recommend The Big Lebowski. No, I'm not recommending any of them. I was going to do Oh Brother, We're Out There, and I'm doing my little twofer anyway because I love it so much. But then whatever.
I'm changing.
I'm just hoping that Brendan hasn't seen it and I can get him to watch it. I'm doing Jawbreaker. I'm doing I Love Me Some Rose McGowan. You've seen it? Oh, yeah. She was so hot. It was probably a real high school thing for you, right?
Yeah.
Let's just take out the fact that Marilyn Manson is in that movie.
Yeah.
And that little thing that... Yeah, but I'm doing Jawbreaker.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
great movie.
I had very limited time. I killed Liz. I killed the teen dream. Yeah.
Deal with it.
I think that might have been one of the first movies I was allowed to go and see with a friend at the cinema, just us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just got this very fond... And, yeah, the music, the time, the clothes.
Leave me lying here. Anyway.
Big time.
Remember when Rebecca Gayheart was a thing?
Yeah.
Wonder where she is.
Was she in...
Which one's
she? Urban Legend? No.
Yeah, Urban Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That time of my life, watching
Paul
those
was so
movies.
Smug. Like, yes, I know exactly.
Watching those sorts of movies, brilliant. Yeah, to be young.
Yeah.
And the kids don't know. I watched Scott Pilgrim over the weekend, and like I was at work, and they were like, "What did you get up to?" And I was like, "Oh, I watched Scott Pilgrim again." And like, never heard of it. And I was like, "What?"
Anyway. Like, you're like, "Don't you like graphic novels?"
You could have recommended Scott Pilgrim.
There you go.
So brilliant. Many missed opportunities.
People, for the love of God, take off your clothes. Take off your clothes.
Where are we ranking Monkey Bone amongst the films we've covered on the podcast? Okay, I am going to put it in between 18 Again and Wish Upon a Star. So, like, pretty smack bang in the middle.
Mm.
Yeah, same.
Same. I'm putting it in between Inside You and 18 Again.
And I'm putting it in between Inside You and Tammy the T-Rex. So there we go.
Saying like I'm putting it in Inside You, we all just did that and it felt very wrong. Yeah, but interestingly, so it's all pretty much right around the same.
Yeah, it had its problems. It had some great upsides.
It had Brendan Fraser. Yeah, a real mixed bag.
I don't think it deserves all the hate that it gets. Like, it's an interesting failure, but it is a failure, but it is an interesting one, at least. And to me, I'd always appreciate something that's interesting over something that just is bad in a boring way.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can definitely watch it and go, someone in the higher ups have ruined this. 'Cause how could you have we didn't even mention like Bob Odenkirk's in it. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many like names and people are genuinely funny and they just must have been like, you know, one hand behind their back somehow.
But it's funny that this came from the studio that the same year released Freddy Got Fingered without any studio edits.
Isn't that a load of shit? That's, yeah.
But, like, that film is a masterpiece. But, but then, like, you know.
But what studio was like, yeah, that's fine. Have at it. Like, that's crazy.
But this is also the studio that then, I think, 2 years after this, got Idiocracy and just buried it because they didn't agree with the content of it.
Right.
And so, I guess. Don't trust 20th Century Fox.
Wrong moves.
Yeah.
Is now the time when we get to speculate about all the things that Brendan Fraser's got coming up? Because, you know, this little interview that's doing the rounds where he cries and he's so sweet to the woman that interviews him?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God. This is like the internet's boyfriend.
Okay, I have to watch
communicating
it.
Communicating directly with us. So yeah. I think he's interviewed by like kind of like a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, you know, like, we just all love you. Like, we're so excited for you and we can't wait to see what you've got coming next.
Because he is getting like a bit of a comeback. Like,
yeah, yeah. The pronations, I'm trying to do a word there, yeah. But I don't have it. Yeah. I'm tired.
Like he was in that film No Sudden Moves. He's on that series Doom Patrol.
He is wearing a cowboy hat in the interview and he's like, oh, shucks, miss, and like tips his hat and he's tearing up. So like, so cute. So he's saying he's got something. Like, he's in a Scorsese movie, all this stuff. If neither of you have seen the interview, we can't, like, speculate what all these things are going to be.
In the next 5 years, we're going to get a Brendan Fraser Oscar nomination.
Love that for him.
Yeah. Well, I love how you get excited, like, it's actually going to happen. I just predicted it. Well, it could. It would be. Yeah, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You, and when it does, we can listen back to this.
Yeah.
And say that I'm right.
And I agreed with you, you bastard.
So, let's get to...
Back to that email I've been waiting this whole time. Email.
So, back to Kyle in New Zealand. And he says, I have all sorts of suggestions for content, but a TV show that I actually think actually did a nice job getting into queer identity was the New Zealand show Life is Easy. So I looked up this TV show and it turns out it was a whole bunch of short episodes. So altogether, the entire season is movie length. So I have made the executive decision that we are going to be doing this TV show.
The first time we're doing TV.
We're going to binge a TV series.
We're going to binge it. We're going to watch it all together as a movie, all in one sitting.
And we have snacks.
Yes, of course. But it literally goes for 2 hours, the whole thing.
Shirley Temples?
Of course.
Grey Poupon? What's the other thing?
Strudel something?
Yeah, we never got that, did we?
So, yeah, we're going to count it as a movie, but it's technically a TV show. So it's a New Zealand television show called Life is Easy, where BFFs Jamie Lee and Curtis scramble to confront the hot mess of race, sex, and gender when a birthday body swap proves that their hashtag blessed lives aren't all they seem.
Brendan, Paul, you know, like, this email came from a person from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to say anything about this. They definitely worked. They definitely worked on it.
No, anyway, he didn't. He
I'm
didn't disclose
the
it.
For Kyle.
He didn't disclose it. So
many have tried to get one through, being like, "Oh, have you heard of this? Cough, I made it."
I've watched the shorts for this. It seems quite fun. It's like about like a gay guy and his female best friend, and they swap bodies.
You and me. Oh my god!
Yeah. So I think it looks like a lot of fun.
Do they have a super cool friend?
With
yeah.
A beard?
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, he eats a pizza every night before bed.
Also, I love the way this email kind of, like, without saying it, was like, you could actually watch something that's actually good. Here it is. Like, you guys do a lot of shit.
So, yeah, looking forward to that one.
Thanks, Kyle.
So if you need to watch
Jury's
it.
Jury's out. You never know.
If you want to, like, catch up on it before our next episode, just Google Life is Easy New Zealand TV show and then put a VPN on your computer and then you can watch it on their website.
But like it's available to watch.
Yeah, it's available for free if you're in New Zealand.
Sure.
So if you make your computer think it's in New Zealand, you can watch it.
Yeah.
Until next time, unless you want to be a DPW dehydrated poop worm, aka piece of shit on the ground, review us on iTunes.
A worm in a piece of shit on the ground.
Yeah, you're the dehydrated poop worm who's eating the piece of shit for sustenance. That's who you are. If you don't
eat pieces of shit for breakfast.
So that's who you would be if you don't review us on iTunes. So review us on iTunes. And I was Paul Mitzi.
And something saying thing.
You're Lucy Thomas.
Yeah, I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi, and don't get vaccinated. This week I'm anti-vax.
Don't listen to him. It's not true. You're going to make the internet angry. Don't do it.
But also some of the internet will be very happy.
I don't want them. They can go away.
Yeah, truly. Why don't they all just go and be in the same place and leave us alone?
Do you know who truly is a DPW? Anti-vaxxers.
Yes, I will support that. Get the jab. Jabs in arms.
Yeah. Scarlett Johansson's brother agrees.
What?
In the movie. The brother of the pig.
Agrees with vaccinations.
Is the music playing? Are the people still listening?
Brendan, you never gave him a highlight reel of Paul fucking up the intro. You promised.
Say you're out. Oh, no, you did. You were anti-vax. All right, see you. Bye. The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi.
Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.